History Makers with Matt Prater.
Coming off of drugs, you're going to have emotional problems, but I kept chasing after God.
And he's using this vehicle to bring people out of the dark into the light.
And I went forward and I knelt at the front, and it was a radical conversion experience.
And that's where the big change happened, and that's where we decided we're going to use our music for God, we're going to change our songs.
When I was about 25 years old, I was busted and into jail, and it was there that I came to the Lord.
History Makers with Matt Prater.
Hi, and welcome to History Makers. I'm Matt Prater. Today we're chatting with author and speaker Jackie Civeriazzi from Sydney. How are you doing, Jackie?
Hi, Matt. I'm great, thank you. Thank you for having me today.
Now, I'm looking forward to hearing a bit of your story today. Let's start with the beginning. Where were you born and raised?
I was raised in Sydney, so in the southwest area. Yeah, I grew up in a broken family of a mum and stepfather and my dad. Mm-hmm. And on the outside, pretty normal childhood. We enjoyed many holidays as a family. I was involved in sports. I grew up going to a Christian school. And that's what it looked like.
And what about your faith journey? Were you born again at a young age, or how did that all happen?
My mum was a Christian, and, you know, her faith really impacted me when I was a young girl. And we started attending a church, a tiny Church of Christ church in Moorbank when I was 16 years old. And through those months of attending that church, I was radically saved. I gave my heart to Jesus. And then started my journey of the Lord leading me into this beautiful relationship with him. I started attending a new church, which is Inspire Church out at Hoxton Park. And when I walked through the doors of Inspire Church, with the presence of God hitting me and just being a part of that worship, it's like the scales just fell from my eyes, and I entered into this vibrant relationship with the Lord. And, you know, that was the beginning of the Lord putting my life onto a whole new path. And really an exciting next 30 years of my life.
And tell us a bit about your career. What kind of work did you do in your younger years?
I'm a senior graphic designer and design manager. And I went to uni in my early 20s and then just, you know, became a passionate graphic designer and just started on, you know, my first steps in taking on my own clients and also working. And over the last 20 years, like having an exciting time, really, like getting to be a part of all different projects as a graphic designer. And today I'm a design manager for one of the big fours in Sydney, and I absolutely love my work and feel very blessed with what the Lord has put in my hand.
And I know you've been passionate as a writer and starting to do a bit of speaking as well. How did you get into ministry?
You know, when I started attending Inspire Church, the Lord opened up doors for ministry. But even if I just go back before that, though, I went to Bible college when I was 18 years old. And in those years, that year of Bible college, I got this hunger not only for the Word of God, but for building the house of God. That particular Bible college, they, you know, passionate about being servants of the Lord. And I took that passion, you know, and I took it into my church. And the Lord opened up these awesome doors of opportunity for me. I was a part of the worship team. I was one of the key backing vocalists, a worship leader, being a part of the choir. And over the years, the Lord just began to bring the talents in my life force, you know, gifting that I had no idea was even, you know, laying inside of me. But that's the exciting thing about being a part of church life, is that, you know, the Lord brings out of us what he's, you know, put in us, you know. And when we choose to serve him, you know, it's so exciting to see, you know, not only are we building the house of God, but at the same time, he's building our lives. And that's exactly what he was doing in my life. You know, he was building me from the inside out.
And I know that you've been, sharing your story a little bit recently. You've got a new book you've released. Tell us a bit about this new book. How did this all come about?
So I grew up in a home where behaviours of emotional abuse were present. You know, behaviours such as raids, of gaslighting, of aggression, of manipulation, of destructive criticism, of emotional abuse and verbal abuse. And this was my childhood. And, you know, as I became a Christian, you know, I also met a man in the church. He was 10 years older than me, and we fell in love. And I entered into a relationship that was an extension of what I knew from my childhood. And this relationship, in the early years, I went through domestic violence. But domestic violence was not a part of my childhood. It was not something that I witnessed. So in those early years of that marriage, when I was just a 19-year-old, the Lord gave me a voice, and I was able to confront that domestic violence until it stopped, and it did stop. But looking back in those years, that's when the emotional abuse really became evident for me. You know, and over a relationship that spanned 16 years, we were married for 13 and a half, I journeyed emotional abuse. And that emotional abuse looked like behaviours such as the silent treatment, being spoken down to with disrespect, name-calling, gaslighting, and destructive criticism, dealing with a term that they call infantilization, where you're treated as though you are a child and they are the parent. So in my day-to-day, not being allowed to do things my way, you know, making decisions, being told that I made the wrong decision, walking on eggshells, you know, so afraid of making mistakes. And, you know, the impact of my childhood brought out behaviours in me that, you know, firstly, my foundations look like shame, that look like self-rejection and deep rejection in my life. And wherever I went, I received rejection, because that was the core and the root of, you know, the foundations of who I was. And out of those foundations in me became behaviours of, you know, being a perfectionist, performance, you know, looking for approval, desperate for acceptance. And so those needs in my life and that brokenness in my life, you know, it just compounded as, you know, I went through these behaviours of emotional abuse. And the cycle of abuse that I was in over the years, the Lord was teaching me how to break free from that cycle, break free from that trauma bond that I was in.
And tell us a bit about when that first marriage ended. How did you pick up the pieces? Like, did you have counselling? Did you have a lot of pastoral support? How did you get through that tough time?
Sure. Firstly, I want to just go back a little bit. And I was a part of the women's conference at our church. And, you know, a part of my role with ministry was that I was, you know, styling the conference. And this particular conference, because I was in such a bad way, you know, I'd been spending months with my face in my pillow, crying out to God for help. Please help me. The emptiness in my life was so incredibly consuming, and I could no longer cope. I was drowning in the behaviours of the marriage. And I found myself at this conference, and I wasn't able to enter into the conference because of the state that I was in on the inside. So I continued just to be busy, you know, organising things and doing things. And I stayed in the foyer area of the church, and I listened to the message over the loudspeaker. And the speaker was speaking on the subject of ask. And as I listened to what she was saying to the congregation, she said, you know, what will you ask of God today? And I said to the Lord, and it was like the Holy Spirit was speaking through me as the tears ran down my cheeks, God, I ask for a functional marriage. And as I spoke those words, it really was the beginning of me taking my first step towards separation and then eventually divorce. And, you know, I chose to separate from an abusive marriage, an abusive man, but I wasn't choosing for divorce. And 3 months later, he asked for a divorce, and my world exploded into 1,000 pieces. And my journey, you know, over that year of going through intense grief was, I made a choice that I wasn't going to get stuck in grief. So through that choice, I went to counselling. I also attended counselling before the marriage ended as well for 18 months. And then really that period, the Lord was preparing me for what was to come. And then I put myself back into counselling. And, you know, I made choices, you know, pressing into worship and pressing into the Word and doing whatever I could to help myself to rise up and to not get stuck in that grief that I was in.
And, you know, I'm so glad to hear about your journey with a counsellor. You know, as a pastor, I've seen, you know, so many people with all sorts of struggles in marriages and divorce and separation. And some people, there's a shame. Some people just feel like they can't go to a counsellor, but it really is so important to be able to sit with someone and just walk through your journey with someone and just have another listening ear. It's so important, isn't it?
It's so important. And I think one of the reasons why we don't want to is because, firstly, we don't have that self-awareness in our life. And self-awareness is such a big part of us coming to terms with who we are and where we're at. And the other thing, too, is we really have to take ourselves out of the place of being an adult and go back to being the child, you know, our childhood, because our childhood is what, you know, shapes us, and it's the reason why we attract who we attract in our adulthood. And it's also the reason for our behaviours as well. So here we are in this cycle of behaviours. And, you know, when we choose, you know what, I'm going to get self-aware and I'm going to go back to where I come from, it's a little bit easier to break through the pride, because obviously, often it's the pride in our adulthood where we don't want to say that we've got a problem. We get stuck in blaming everybody else. That keeps us really stuck where we are, and we can't actually move forward into where we want to go. All of us want to live in a healthy relationship. All of us want to feel that peace and that love and that acceptance. But if we get stuck in the pride, then we actually can't move forward.
Well, it's an incredible story of, you know, going through some tough times, but you know, the good news is that you remarried your husband, Marco. You've now got a healthy, functional family after, you know, those tough years. Tell us a bit about how that all came about.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, Marco truly is my dream come true. And today I live in a healthy, functional marriage, and we have a little boy who's 8 years old. You know, when I came out of my first marriage, I said to the Lord, do whatever you have to do in me that I can attract a man from a healthy, functional family. This is why counselling was so important and such a big part of my journey. But on top of that, I educated myself in abusive behaviour, in what narcissistic emotional abuse looked like. And the reason why I educated myself was because it was me also protecting myself from going down that path again. So I had, you know, a very good understanding of what didn't make a marriage work, not what made a marriage work, but what didn't. And so there were certain characteristics, you know, I was looking for in a man. I said to the Lord, I believe you're big enough to bring my husband into my life. So I chose not to go on internet dating sites. I chose not to go looking for Marco. I believe that the Lord would bring him to me. And, you know, Lord, the Lord truly showed me his ability to do that, because Mark and I met on New Year's Eve on Sydney Harbour watching the fireworks.
Wow.
And he had only been in the country for 14 days, and he's Italian. He was on holidays. And, you know, the Lord, sometimes we get stuck in our picture of what we want in a relationship, the type of person that we want to be with. You know, we want the person who's, you know, maybe a pastor or maybe someone who's successful, who's got a great career, who's got a great bank account, who's really good looking. And the Lord came along and he smashed my picture to pieces by bringing Marco into my life. You know, Marco is 7 years younger than me. He was a backpacker, and, you know, Italian was his first language. He was only just learning English, and he was so not the type of person that I would naturally attract to. And, you know, I'd lived a big life already, you know, serving in ministry, had built my career, I'd been married, I had traveled, and he was just not the person that I was looking for. And the Lord brought this gorgeous guy into my life because the Lord wanted me to focus on character, not the external. And, you know, over the first 5 months, I actually put Marco completely through the ringer, the poor guy, and watching his character, because I was looking for, how does this person deal with disappointment? Mm. How does he deal with frustration? How does he deal when we have a conflict? How does he deal with it when I'm having a messy day? And the thing is that Marco's character, it come up consistent every time, consistent in the way that he managed his emotions, consistent in the way that he treated me with respect, with value, with love, with affection. He was consistent. There was no payback. And, you know, when you're dealing with emotionally abusive behaviour, when you address that abusive behaviour, there is payback that comes. You know, there's an inconsistency. You know, emotional abuse, it's a cycle. So you've got the honeymoon period, then it moves around to agitation, and the agitation builds and it moves around to explosion. And the reason for this cycle of emotional abuse is called, you know, when the abuser is not getting what they want when they want it, when they're not getting their needs and their wants met when they want it, they'll go through this cycle. And then it goes back to the honeymoon. And as you go through that cycle, what's happening is a trauma bond is building. When you choose to stay in that cycle with that abuser, a trauma bond begins to build. And this is the reason why so often, you know, a man or a woman who's in an abusive relationship, it's not that easy just to leave it, and why they can stay in it for many, many years. And what I saw in Marco's behaviour was his consistent behaviour. He was not a roller coaster. He was not up and down. He was consistent in who he was.
Well, it's an amazing story, and, you know, God is a God of second chances, and it sounds like this book is really going to be helpful to many people in different circumstances. So if people want to search it up, it's called Goodbye For Now or Goodbye Forever, Footsteps to a Functional Family, and it's available at the website sheovercame.com. Is that the best place to pick it up?
That's right, and I just want to say, you know, something that's so important is that not every person can leave an abusive relationship. You know, there's reasons like children, there's reasons like finances, and we need to get tools in our hand to manage our response to emotionally abusive behaviour.
Mm.
You know, that it's not completely destroying us, especially if you're not able to leave that relationship. So this is what I talk about in the book, you know, placing tools in the hands. And the book is really focused on the journey for women, but I just also acknowledge that it's not only women who deal with abusive behaviour. And we need to have tools in our hands to be able to overcome in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Well, once again, the book is called Goodbye For Now or Goodbye Forever, Footsteps to a Functional Family, and it's available at the website sheovercame.com. Jackie, it's been awesome to catch up with you today. I reckon you're a history maker. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Matt. Thank you for having me today.
If you'd like to hear this conversation again, listen online anytime at historymakersradio.com. There you'll also find links to all of our social media channels, and you can subscribe to our iTunes podcast. History Makers is a faith-based ministry, and we want to thank everyone for their generous support. If you've got a suggestion of anyone we should interview, send us an email, info@historymakersradio.com. God bless. I'm Matt Prater, and my challenge to you now is to go and make history.